That's the reason, isn't it? That's the reason why there's all this tension between me and you. Is that why you sent an incompetent referee out here to screw me last week? I'll tell you what, AJ. You forget last week's match ever happened, and I'll forget that you would show up to every Monday Night Raw wearing my t-shirt. I'll forget the hundreds of text messages and voicemails that are not fit to air here on the USA Network that you would leave me. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I embarrassing you? Well, please, don't let me do all the talking. Why don't you let everybody know exactly how intimate me and you were behind closed doors? Let them know I'm the reason there's this little skip in your step. Tell them that I'm the best in the world.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live, your source for news, views, and opinions on everything wrestling, from the big leagues to the local scene. Now, here's James McDonald and Corey Callahan. What you want, what you
need, what you come here for? It's Thursday evening, Smack Talk Radio Live back on the air. September 27, 2012, sitting in the Smack Talk studios. I'm Corey Callahan, sitting alongside that guy, James McDonald.
That guy on the couch.
And we're not alone here tonight, James. We have someone joining us in studio as well. You might know him as our local wrestling insider, but not tonight.
Nope.
Maybe not anymore. We welcome Team 1040's Corey Basso. Corey, how you doing tonight?
Gentlemen, I'm feeling fantastic. Happy to be along.
Feeling fantastic. You're looking fantastic as well.
That wasn't what you said when I walked in, but I'll take it now.
So how's everyone doing? It's been a while since we've been on the air. Smack
been
Talk Radio
far
Live.
Too long since we've been on the air, man.
Summer hiatus. Well, let's just be realistic, James. Hard drive crashed earlier. We came back, and then I just straight up said to you one day, I just don't like wrestling anymore.
A little bit shocking, but...
And the show was in jeopardy for a while.
Yeah.
Corey, I'm interested to know, like, what are your thoughts on professional wrestling these days as a whole? Are you happy with the product? Are you hating the product? Are you right in the middle? Are you watching just because you have to? Like, where do you sit?
I'm watching. I can't say I'm overly happy with the product, but I'm not too disappointed either. It's got its highs and its lows. I think it's gone down a little bit since where we were last year in 2011, but we're waiting on a big 2013. I think we got some big matches coming up, and I think they're going to round out the year nicely. So we'll see what happens.
I'm on the opposite side of the fence because I'm telling you, I hate wrestling right now.
Really?
I will say this. This past Monday on Raw did deliver in my eyes. It did bring me back a little bit, but I was at a point with this radio show where I just... I'm hating the product, and this radio show would be an hour-long rant of me just spewing out negativity towards the WWE, and I didn't want to do it, so I decided to put the show on hold and just enjoy the summer.
Nobody wants to listen to that, of course.
Well, I mean, come on, it can be comedic at times. Now, to find this show that we like to call Smack Talk Radio Live, you got to head on over to www.smacktalkradiolive.com, where you can like the page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you're not signed up already, get with the times at SRL Radio on Twitter. All right, boys, back at it. I don't know where to go from here. I'm a little rusty.
Why don't we try maybe what's going on in the business?
Oh, no, I'm not ready for that yet.
Okay.
I want to talk about the NFL referee debacle.
That's a good topic. Yeah, it's...
Basso, your thoughts?
Thank God the real refs are back, because I'm pretty sure anybody who had money on that Green Bay-Seattle game lost a good chunk of change there. So
now, could tonight's game that is going to be on television with Baltimore and...
Browns.
Yes, that's right. Baltimore and Cleveland. Could there be any more pressure on these referees? Like, do you almost want them to screw up, don't you?
No, you don't.
Oh, I do.
That being said, I'm not overly a football fan, guys. Like, I do watch from time to time if we have a big match or if it's the Super Bowl or the playoffs or whatever. But I was tuning in just to see what debacle would go down with the referees. It made for great football. And when you're not emotionally invested in it, you can just kind of sit back and be like, look at that.
I would just love to see the NFL just get razzed tomorrow morning because the new or the real referees do something just as bad as what we witnessed on Monday. I swear, what we saw on Monday with Green Bay and Seattle, That was like a page out of the book of the WWE.
It was. It was like an element of professional wrestling in the NFL. Last, you never really see that.
The last play of the game, the ball comes down. Who has possession? One referee puts his hand up, signaling a touchdown. The other saying no catch. It was, I swear, it looked like something the WWE would pull off.
You couldn't have booked that better.
I'm pretty sure that was the finish at Night of Champions between CM Punk and John Cena.
Very well
said. It was a dusty finish, gentlemen. Yeah. It was a dusty finish.
So before we get into the post-to-post report, James, what have you been up to this summer?
Oh, not a whole heck of a lot. Just, I don't know, going to work every day and living the dream, having technical problems of my own, of course.
So. He's just a common man.
That's right. And Basso, you've been excelling at the local radio station, the Team 1040. How's that going for you these days?
Good, good. Just doing some updates. Took a trip to New York about 2 weeks ago. Dodged some bullets there and hung out in the city for a week. It was a lot of fun.
Now that you've been to New York, would you say that it... you definitely got to go check out WrestleMania in New York, or is that still on the fence for you?
I will say you definitely have to go check out WrestleMania in New York, not only because I saw the MetLife Stadium just from across the water there in Jersey, and it looks like a magnificent stadium. Obviously, I don't know much about Jersey. I didn't get a chance to go over there. But I will say that I had my Best in the World CM Punk shirt with me on that vacation.
Nice.
While I was roaming around town, I got compliments in nearly every store from young wrestling fans.
Really?
I went to White Castle to do a White Castle binge late at night, and the girls all behind the counter love my CM Punk shirt.
Wow.
Lots of the guys in the athletic stores were all about the CM Punk shirt. So there's obviously a following there where people do watch wrestling and aren't afraid to like talk to you about it.
And that's quite opposite from Vancouver, because here you're lucky to see a wrestling shirt at all walking the streets.
Yeah.
And if you do, that guy will probably get beaten up and get his lunch money taken and getting a wedgie too. So
that is true. Alrighty, well, let's kick the show off. We like to call Smack Talk Radio Live. Why don't we get caught up with the latest of the business in the business, something we like to call the post-to-post report.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the post-to-post report.
Alrighty, we conform to the norm and start the post-to-post report this week with who else? John Cena. Now, in case you were wondering why you saw Cena in an arm sling this past Monday, Cena went in last Tuesday for elbow surgery, or as Corey Basso likes to call it, an upper body surgery.
Yes.
Cena had bone chips in his elbow removed by Dr. James Andrews, and he removed several pieces of bone cartilage from his elbow through a scope. Now, WWE.com initially stated it would take 4 to 6 weeks for Cena to recover from surgery, but then changed it to 2 to 3 weeks. Cena, who didn't like the website updating the WWE Universe before he could, he wrote on Twitter saying, 6 weeks is a safer timetable for recovery. I apologize on behalf of a website whose credibility is now equal to The Onion.
I love The Onion. I go there for all my hard-hitting news.
I love The Onion as well. It's been around forever. So good. James has never heard of it.
Never heard of The Onion.
Wow. Have you ever seen the TV show?
Negative.
Oh.
Is it like a satirical thing or what?
It's like a news website who act serious, but their stories are completely bogus.
Oh, so it's like that Weekly World News reg.
Yes.
Or like Fox News.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, WWE and ION Television have announced the upcoming taping schedule for their new show, WWE Main Event, which will premiere on October the 3rd. Now, each episode will be taped at the previous night's SmackDown television taping, with the first taping happening in Tulsa, Oklahoma. WWE Main Event will air on Wednesdays and will be similar to WWE Superstars, but instead of low to mid-card talent, the show will feature some of the upper-card talent as well.
What do you think about this? A show like WWE Superstars, where really the results mean nothing, it's just an opportunity for wrestlers to brush up on their skills. Instead of using low to mid-card, we're going to be using mid to upper-card. Is that a good idea?
I'd check it out.
I think it's a great idea because it's a tough period between Monday and Friday for guys who need their wrestling fix, and I'm one of those guys. Even if it's just an hour of a few matches here and there and a couple Yoshitatsu matches, I'll take it.
Interesting. WWE announced on Monday a multi-year agreement with Hulu Plus, which will bring WWE programming to the online video viewing website. Hulu.com, which we found out today is not actually available in Canada, will offer WWE fans unlimited instant streaming access, additional content and programming on the go, as it becomes the exclusive home for next-day access to all of WWE programming. Subscribers will pay $7.99 a month, and they'll be able to access the programming on mobile phones, tablets, PCs, internet-connected TVs, and gaming consoles. Pretty much any avenue you can think of.
So again, I'm behind the times here, guys. Like, what is Hulu? Is that kind of like a Netflix?
I would say Hulu is comparative to Netflix. Yes, probably a bit more. Probably, I don't know if they're actually bigger than Netflix. I don't think they're bigger than Netflix, but Hulu is a very large company in the States. I have a lot of American friends who use Hulu often. They cancel their cable television and watch television exclusively through this website, so it is on the rise for sure.
I'm interested to see if and when the WWE Network ever comes back. They teased that for quite a while, the TV network. Mm-hmm. Since then, I think they've kind of put it on the back burner, and since then we've gotten the YouTube channel, mm-hmm. as well as now this Hulu thing. So it'll be interesting to see if they ever get around to that, and if not, what other mediums they want to use.
One thing I find interesting about this Hulu announcement is typically for me or for the average wrestling fan, if you want to go back and find archived wrestling footage just at your own pace and, you know, at your... you want to find what you specifically want to see, you would have to go and download a torrent, for example. Or you could look it up on YouTube. Well, this is kind of an opportunity where it'll cost you $8 a month to be a Hulu subscriber, but does that mean I'm going to have an unlimited archive of wrestling footage that I can go and watch whenever I want, however I want, on any platform I want? To me, the ease of that would be worth $8
a month. That'd be
amazing. If the library is large enough to make me happy.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking like a WWE on demand of sorts.
It is, yes. And but this is through a modern platform, right? This age of Netflix and Hulu is expanding, so it's an interesting concept. I think the library needs to be very big for it to be successful, but we will find out.
Okay, developmental wrestler and member of the NXT roster, Raquel Diaz, she's been granted her release with the WWE. Now, Diaz, who is the daughter of Vicky Guerrero and the late Eddie Guerrero, joined the WWE in October of 2010 and appeared as a wrestler, a valet, and a ring announcer. While it was said she was good on the mic, her in-ring work was apparently not nearly as advanced as her legendary father.
And in the biggest news of the decade, WWE ring announcer Justin Roberts, he was featured on the TMZ.com website earlier this week It was revealed he received 2 traffic violations in the past 2 weeks. This, of course, proves the theory yet again that despite what you may think of yourself, you're not popular unless you're featured on the TMZ.com website.
Or maybe it's just TMZ scraping for stories.
This is just, I don't even need to see this in the news.
There's been quite a few wrestlers making the TMZ rounds. You got Sunny, Tammy Lee Sitch.
Yes.
She got Cameron.
Arrested. Didn't she get arrested a few times in a couple days, Sunny?
Three times in a week.
Cameron for a DUI, alleged bribery of a cop to try and get out of the charge. Now this.
It's interesting.
Who's next, in the words of Goldberg? Who's next?
I remember scrolling down on the TMZ website, and like 4 of the top 5 stories were all WWE related.
Somebody there's a wrestling fan, I guess.
No kidding. Now, in terms of financials, the WWE stock, it is sitting at $8.19 a share. Middle of the road for it. It's not terrible. It's not great.
It's pretty much hovering around the same that it's been.
In terms of television ratings this week, WWE Monday Night Raw on September 24th, it scored a 2.72 rating for all 3 hours and 2.70 rating for the standard 2-hour time slot. The overall rating tied with the May 28th Raw for the lowest of the year. Now that's surprising to me, and I'll get to that a little later. Raw averaged 3.79 million viewers, which was the smallest audience of the year, and it's the smallest since July 4th, 2011. Their competition on Monday did include the Monday Night Football game, featuring Green Bay and Seattle. What do you make of that?
Wow. Tough competition.
It is. Yeah.
Very stiff competition.
Well, everyone was tuning into that game, I'm assuming, especially as it gets down to the wire. But the television ratings, to me, brings up a good topic of discussion, and that does wrap up the post-to-post report, by the way. Are you caught up on the business of the business?
All caught up.
I think so.
Alrighty. Now, I wanted to ask you... typically in the past, we were used to 2-hour time slots when it came to television ratings.
Right.
We are now in 3-hour time slots because Monday Night Raw has expanded to 3 hours. The ratings have dipped a little bit. What are your guys' feelings on the new 3-hour time slot? Are you emotionally drained when you get to that third hour? Are you still involved? Are you still into the show? Is it a good idea to be 3 hours long?
Well, for me personally, I mean, it was a little bit of a grind when it first happened. I think I'm starting to get a little bit more used to it now that we're about 10, 11 episodes in, I think. But mm-hmm. I think the reason you're seeing some of these lower ratings is because I think more people are just watching it on PVR now and just fast-forwarding through...
I've said it on before to you,
all the
James.
All video segments and stuff.
I've said it before. They are giving me every reason, in my opinion, to use my PVR. I don't feel like I should stick around on a couch for 3 hours sitting through
it is
painful
tough
commercials
live sometimes.
To watch it live.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that I've adapted quite nicely to the 3 hours. I mean, I'm a big fan of long movies, so that kind of helps me out, that I don't get too tired of watching long, long programs. But I will say that I've noticed that they usually start out pretty hot, have like a good first hour. Mm-hmm. Then the second hour for me kind of drags, and then they get kind of back to the main topics, like your CM Punks, your Cenas, in the third hour, mm-hmm. kind of recap it. It almost feels like it's a 2 hour show with something tacked on in the middle to me.
I've noticed that they've expanded certain in-ring promo segments. The matches in the middle of the show are quite longer. I don't really feel that it's necessary to make the matches longer, because if it's a throwaway match anyways, I just want it in. I want that match done and over with within 6 minutes. I don't need to see a 14-minute throwaway match. And that's the feeling I get with some of these. Like Kofi and Dolph Ziggler, for example, this week. Outstanding match.
Oh, that was a great match.
Yeah. Outstanding match, but it wasn't, to me, it's essentially a bit of a throwaway match, because and it went awfully long.
Mm. I think throwaway is the wrong word. I want to say that they're meaningless.
Throwaway is the wrong word.
I don't think it's a throwaway, because I've always liked Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston. I know you're just using that as an example, but mm-hmm. I find the matches very good and very well put together. But like you say, when they're meaningless, we can wrap them up a little bit quicker, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you feel, James, that you're emotionally invested for an entire 3 hours, though?
Not for the entire 3 hours, no. I'm pretty much in the same boat with Corey here. I do feel that in the first hour, it's like, yeah, you know, they try to come out hot and keep your interest, and then that second hour, for me, drags as well. So.
I thought, though, this past Monday, it was the best use of 3 hours. That Mick Foley segment came a little later in the show. It wasn't quite at the end of the show, but it came a little later. And it was almost, you could almost have ended the show with the Mick Foley CM Punk segment, but really it was kind of just, I can't remember if it was wrapping up the end of the second hour or just starting the third, but that brought me back into it, getting mm-hmm. me set for the last hour. If you can have something impactful at the middle of the show, you will tend to, in my opinion, I might forget about that the show is 3 hours long. Make sense?
I think so, too. I think you do have to have like a little bookmark or checkpoint in the middle there that keeps people like, okay, this is what happened. Now I want to see what happened in the last.
Because I haven't seen that up until last week. I never really have seen something in the middle of the show that's making me, oh my God, you know, like I've just seen filler until we get to the end of the show.
You need that inciting incident, then you need a follow-up, right? Mm-hmm.
Before we move on to other topics, I did want to mention Kofi and Dolph Ziggler. Some people have said it might be the match of 2012 so far. What did you guys think of that match?
I wouldn't go that far, but...
I wouldn't go that far, but I will say that those guys have extreme chemistry together. Mm-hmm. I remember last year in 2011, around the... close to summer, I think it was like May, June, those guys wrestled like Raw and SmackDown back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back, mm-hmm. and were actually supposed to be in a match again at Money in the Bank, but it got flogged when Kofi was put into the ladder match, and those guys just having intense chemistry. They're both not the hugest guys, but they both can move. They both got the moves in the ring, and I just love watching those guys.
Mm-hmm. I was actually extremely disappointed with this match, and in fact, it might go down as the worst moment of 2012 for me.
Why is this?
Well, it's not actually match-related itself, but there was a moment just before the match started during the introductions where...
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Where basically... To me, it signified the end of the WWE, and that was that Jim Ross sold out. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Jim Ross sold out.
Here, have a listen.
I was thinking of something completely
different.
I want to have a listen to this.
What I'm talking about.
Really bored over the past week because of a war of words on Twitter. Some nasty things going back and forth. Kofi kicking things off by saying things like, how many ways can Dolph Ziggler get bro kicked? That was after Friday Night SmackDown. Dolph Ziggler saying, I have the title contract. Where's your gold, Kofi? And then Kofi Kingston would say, JR, funny that you're talking about losses, Dolph. Probably that's the reason you haven't cashed in Money in the Bank yet, because you can't win the big one.
It's been essentially a Twitter mania, if you will.
Jim Ross selling out to Twitter. He's promoting it.
Is that really what you're talking about?
Yes.
Wow.
When I heard that,
that totally went over my head.
Really?
So.
I was going to say, Corey.
Dude, when I heard Jim Ross promoting Twitter, I was like, no.
He said Twitter mania. It's not like he said, go to my Twitter page, JR's BBQ at. Come on, man. That was just a comment. It's JR, like,
okay. He didn't sell out. I just wanted to play the clip.
With all the overhyping Michael Cole does, that is like not even anything.
That's nothing.
All right. He didn't sell out. I just had to find a way to play the clip.
Like, make fun of his sauce or something. Like, do something else.
I laughed when Jim Ross said Twitter mania.
All right.
Okay. So, James, what do we want to talk about this week in terms of, well, I mean, I'm actually glad to be starting with this because we're not talking about John Cena for once at the top of the show. We're talking about the guy that they're grooming to kind of be the next one in the company, as we all know, and he rightfully should be. That was CM Punk. Mm-hmm. Had an outstanding showing on Monday Night Raw this week. He was involved in numerous segments. Starting out the show on Monday was CM Punk and Paul Heyman. And things got a little interesting when AJ came out, because CM Punk reminded AJ that she had asked him to marry her, and things got a little weird after Paul Heyman got involved.
Madam General Manager, based on everything that I've seen here tonight, marry me, and I promise you your wildest fantasies of power will be realized beyond belief. Think, AJ, about all the power couples we're gonna trump. Brad and Angelina, Bill and Hillary, Triple H and Stephanie. We will be the most powerful, we'll be the most influential couple in sports entertainment history. Together, we will rule the WWE Universe, because, AJ, think about this. I'll come up with all the ideas. And you can take credit for all of my brilliance.
Now, how would you like to see that match made in heaven? Paul Heyman and AJ? Mary? Oh,
that was an awesome segment from start to finish. I love how they used continuity for once, and just making AJ cry like that was great.
Now, CM Punk has been champion for 300 plus days. Does he need Paul Heyman at his side?
I don't think he needs him, but it allows an opportunity for Paul Heyman to be showcased, which I'm always a fan of.
I think you're right. It's an opportunity for Heyman to be showcased. And I think it works with the new CM Punk heel character.
Yes.
Like, it almost seems like Punk should have a manager or, like, a bigger bodyguard. Like, when he was in the Nexus, he had Mason Ryan, or Luke Gallows when he was in the Straight Edge Society.
Mm-hmm.
And they're definitely booking him like a chicken heel. I mean, I don't think he's won cleanly in a while. So it makes sense for what they're trying to do, if that's what they're going for.
The part that doesn't make sense about this to me is that Brock Lesnar was with Paul Heyman. I guess Brock Lesnar has quit, and Paul Heyman is looking for a new client, and he picked up CM Punk. Is it natural for me to assume that we will see Punk and Lesnar and Heyman in the ring together as a bit of a group at one point, or is that far-fetched?
I don't know. I think that's too awesome for the WWE to pull off.
I think that's too awesome, but I say we should start the rumors. Let's send out some anonymous notes or something and see if we can get that started.
Well, part of me was actually wondering if they would try and create a monster heel stable here. Not even just with Brock Lesnar. Possibly, well, and I know it sounds crazy, but you could have Ryback join. You know, you have the stare down with the two at the end of Monday Night Raw, for example, but maybe a few weeks from now we get the swerve and Ryback actually joins the faction.
I think you need another heel stable, kind of like Evolution was back in the day, where you have like a real big star like Brock Lesnar and a guy who's a top guy in the company like CM Punk, and then you get maybe two guys who are maybe on lower on the card, and you put them with Punk and Lesnar, and that'll kind of build them up a little bit.
And the reason why I ask that should CM Punk be the guy at the forefront of that faction? Because I agree, we do need some sort of heel faction, in my opinion. Wrestling has always been successful with heel faction.
Well, and that's how you build guys up, too.
Exactly.
Right?
But is it the time for CM Punk to be leading that group, or should CM Punk be on his own?
I say he needs a group, because the last few times or matches he's kind of been booked, he's been running away from a lot of matches. Like, in his hometown of Chicago, he took off. Seems a little bit hokey to me. I'd almost rather see him win dirty, but with a bodyguard, you know what I mean? As opposed to just leaving the ring and doing, like, the kind of chicken Chris Jericho heel.
So you like CM Punk not being a true champion in this situation, because that's technically what he's doing.
I do, but at least it gives him some credibility. Yeah, he's still winning dirty. All heels have to win dirty, but at least he's doing it with the protection of a big dude, as opposed to getting himself disqualified by walking. It looks a little bit stronger for a heel to me, as opposed to walking away.
For me, though, you're always keeping CM Punk down a notch by holding him back like that, in a sense that this guy is a deserving champion and this guy should be winning the biggest matches cleanly, because he is, in my opinion, the guy at the top. So why are you tarnishing that just because he's a heel?
I don't think it's tarnished because he's a heel. He won cleanly a lot when he was a face champ. He beat Jericho in every encounter they had pretty cleanly. He beat Daniel Bryan cleanly. He beat Dolph Ziggler cleanly at the Royal Rumble. That was his face run. Now he's a heel. If you look at, for some reason, they always book CM Punk like that heel. Yeah. He never wins cleanly.
What I see them doing here
could be a size, maybe. Is that maybe why they book him that way?
Maybe they. Yeah. I don't know what the reason is, but you rarely see him win clean as a heel. It never
what
happens.
What I see coming from a mile away here is this is the modern day Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart rivalry with CM Punk and John Cena, and this will continue on for probably a couple more years, if not 4 or 5 more years. They may stray away and come back, stray away and come back. But you don't want to give away the icing on the cake now, and I understand that. To me, that's sort of their reasoning why they are having CM Punk not win the way a true champion should, because maybe one day that ultimately will come down the road with a Cena-Punk match at WrestleMania. But I see that coming from a mile away. This is ultimately Hart and Bret Michaels. Wow.
Bret Michaels from Poison? I used to love them.
Hart and Michaels all over again. Would you agree?
No, I would agree. And it actually runs a lot of parallels to the John Cena-Randy Orton feud from about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were saying that was this generation's Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
I asked the question in our preview teaser earlier this week. Is CM Punk the best on the microphone in this generation of wrestlers?
I'd have to. When does this generation go back to?
Yeah.
What year? Give me a year to year time span.
I would say, let's say
he was in WWE 2006.
Yeah, I'm gonna say. I would say probably around from 2006 till now. That would be considered a generation of wrestlers.
I think he's got to be up there. I know Edge was a hell of a talker.
That was the guy.
John Cena's a hell of a talker. But besides that, I'd probably put him in there.
I was actually going to say Edge was the competing factor for CM Punk. Chris Jericho's up there as well.
Yes. Jericho's really good, yeah.
But
all those guys.
And to me, that would be a tough debate.
But if you think about
CM Punk versus Jericho.
Edge, Cena, and Jericho are all quite before Punk. Like, even Cena came in around 2002, so they're not necessarily Punk's generation. In the last however many... And Punk's only been good for a couple of years on the mic. Okay. So if they keep going with him, he could get even better.
Throw you a curveball here. If CM Punk is the best on the mic in this generation, where does John Cena rank in that category?
Shortly, right behind him, I'd say.
Really?
Cena's very good on the mic. Like, I remember a couple Raws from, or a Raw from a few months ago where he did this promo where he was parodying Star Wars. Do you remember that? Do you guys remember that segment? To pull off a segment like that and have it come off the way that it did, you have to have talent. You have to be able to be good on the mic to pull that off. So, Cena's definitely one of the best on the mic.
He spoke in French in Montreal.
Yeah,
I don't know how to do that.
I just my biggest gripe with John Cena on the mic is sometimes he comes across as overly tacky,
hokey,
and that it's rubs off as bad acting.
It's the childish comedy that his character has.
I think it's Cena's character too, and I think the interaction between Punk and Cena, it helps. Like, some of Punk's best work has been with Cena and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think Cena's kind of goofiness and I'm all for the kids, and I think it works with Punk. I mean, obviously, you know what you're going to get with Cena. It's pretty obvious.
What is your take on this whole John Cena CM Punk feud? I mean, we're coming back to it from Money in the Bank, last year. But how do you guys feel about what they've got going on right now?
Well, I think they work incredibly well together, and I'm excited for whenever they have a match. So, I think it's a good pairing.
I think so too, but I don't know how they can elevate the game at this point. Like, you have to go to the marquee one as being that Money in the Bank 2011. Whether it was just because of the atmosphere, the match itself, whatever. There's a lot of factors that go into what makes a match, but the last few encounters, I haven't really noticed anything that different. I mean, they gave us the dusty finish at Night of Champions where it was a double count out or double draw or whatever it was there with the pinning. And we got the swerve of the 1,000th episode of Raw where Cena was disqualified and didn't cash in his Money in the Bank. I don't understand what else different they can do outside of like a gimmick match like Hell in the Cell, which is...
That's pretty much what they all have got left.
That's what I mean. We're going to need to see something really crazy.
In my eyes, the only thing left is to have these two at WrestleMania. To me.
I don't know. I think their feud's going to end at Hell in a Cell. I think that's going to be the big send-off.
See, I don't, because there is an X factor with this, and that, of course, is The Rock. When The Rock comes back, does he challenge for the title against John Cena and then ultimately face a rematch at WrestleMania against Cena? Or does he, like said before, possibly challenge CM Punk for the title at Royal Rumble, and then you go from there heading into WrestleMania? Like, Rock is the X factor.
Yes.
So that, to me, is the deciding reason, as or deciding factor, I should say, as to where Punk and Cena go. And if you are just delaying until then I think the fans will catch up on that, and people will pick up on that. And I don't think that the fans will stay as excited for these two if there's no clear direction. And what you need to have is a match at WrestleMania, because Money in the Bank is hard to top. And I don't care what they do at Hell in the Cell, but that's not going to convince me that that was better than Money in the Bank. WrestleMania is a different possibility.
I think you're right. The Rock is the variable, so that everything, like, who knows what could happen. Well, just based on The Rock.
Who would you like to see The Rock face for the title?
At the Royal Rumble or at WrestleMania?
Let's say the Royal Rumble, because that would be the most logical big pay-per-view that one of these two would face off against The Rock. So would you like to see Cena versus The Rock, or would you like to see Punk versus The Rock?
I think if you'll see Cena and The Rock, it'll probably be at Mania. I don't think they'd do it for the Rumble.
No.
So you think they'll do Punk and Rock at Royal Rumble?
That's what I think, too,
and
yeah.
Cena, Rock, too, at WrestleMania?
I'm not down with that personally. But
he's not down with that.
I'm not down with it either.
I think it could happen. I definitely think it could happen again, because, I mean, WWL is known for going to the well for the water quite a bit. They did Triple H and Undertaker 2 years in a row running, so I don't think there's anything stopping them for trying to attempt Rock Cena 2, especially since Cena didn't win at the first one.
So what are they going to call it, twice in a lifetime?
Twice in a lifetime, baby. Yes. Come back to Miami.
Let me ask you this. What would you prefer to see at WrestleMania? Punk versus The Rock, Cena versus The Rock, or Punk versus Cena?
Oh, jeez.
Ryback, Cena. No, I'm just kidding. I'd go, you know what? Give them what they want. I'd go for Rock Cena, too, and I'd like to see Punk Rock at Rumble.
Interesting. Alrighty, I'll leave it at that. One guy who did carry the microphone well with CM Punk this week. Does that even make sense?
Yes.
Someone who stayed with CM Punk on the microphone this week was a returning star, the legendary Mick Foley. Typically, when Mick Foley comes out, I usually want to change the channel. And
why?
I'm just being honest. Because
why?
He's just not, he doesn't do it for me, typically. However, this Monday on Raw was totally different. I thought he delivered very well, and I partly say it's because he actually was given a serious role for once, as opposed to a shit comedic role that Vince usually puts Mick Foley in. If you put Mick Foley in a serious situation, he really can deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Mick Foley and CM Punk this last Monday on Raw.
I get it. Paul Heyman is slime. Paul Heyman's a liar. Oh, stay away from Paul Heyman. He'll steer you down the wrong path.
No, that's not it at all. Now, I was told a long time ago, 20 years or more, that Paul Heyman would rather climb a tree to tell a lie than stand on the ground and tell the truth. Personally, I never saw that side of him. Paul never lied to me. But you have to understand, at the end of the day, Paul Heyman is going to do what's best for Paul Heyman, not for you. And here's the thing that baffles me. Why would you, CM Punk, one of the most inspirational, thought-provoking, flat-out, best talkers we've ever seen in this business, why would you need a mouthpiece? You need to decide for yourself, Punk, whether you're going to continue to be an inspiration in WWE or whether you're just going to be a Kool-Aid drinker.
A Kool-Aid drinker. What joke do I go with for one of you two?
Now, what's the matter with Kool-Aid?
Nothing the matter with Kool-Aid. It's cheap, it's affordable, and it's damn tasty.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot of sugar, though, in it.
Your point?
Well,
you ever tried drinking Kool-Aid without sugar?
Oh, God.
The sugar-free Kool-Aid? Terrible.
Not fun.
Mick Foley definitely delivered on Raw. You both agree?
No, that was a damn fine segment, if I say so myself.
I like them. I like the serious role. It looked like he brought the best out of Punk there and vice versa.
Good intensity.
And what I love is both this as well is you brought Mick Foley back as we are heading into Hell in a Cell, the pay-per-view. And, you know, Hell in a Cell is October 28th at the Phillips Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. To me, this is writing properly. Creative writing at its finest. You saw the pay-per-view coming. You thought, okay, what can we
Who's
do?
Who's synonymous with Hell in a Cell?
Exactly. You bring Mick Foley back, right. And you don't throw him in some comedic segment. You throw him right into the fire with a very serious segment with your world champion. To me, that is smart writing. And that was my big thing about Monday Night Raw this week. You know, I said at the beginning of the show that I've been hating wrestling as of late. But this week, I thought the writing was really well done. And I'm giving it more credit than anyone else has that I've heard this week. Because a lot of people thought this was a lackluster Raw. The television ratings said it was a lackluster Raw. But to me, I thought the writing was very well done. And this segment is just one of the many.
I agree with that. But I will say that the promos during the new 3-hour Raw do go a little bit long.
It was long.
But it hammered home its point. You're right. It wasn't tense. It was a good stare down, and they didn't rush the moment of truth. Punk could have easily karate kicked him in the back of the head and got the payoff right after that. No, they waited a bit. They let Foley leave the ring. You know, you could tell just by the look on CM Punk's face that what Foley had just said was rattling around in his body, and he was pissed off.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't like, oh, now I'm gonna beat him up and give the like. They didn't climax too soon, and it was good. It was a good setup segment for sure.
To me, the logic, it was a great segment, I will give it that, but to me the logic seemed a little bit flawed, because here you have Mick Foley basically trashing Paul Heyman and bad-mouthing him, yet on the other hand he says, I've got no problem with Paul Heyman, he's never lied to me.
Well, he's not necessarily trashing Paul Heyman, he was saying that you are a true champion when you're on your own.
Right,
you are someone that's so powerful on the microphone that you don't need someone like Paul Heyman at your side, which is kind of what we discussed earlier.
Mm.
The Kool-Aid drinker comment, he was sipping the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Regardless, I thought Paul Heyman, CM Punk, and Mick Foley were all excellent on this past Monday Raw. And it just, to me, proved again that you need these returning wrestlers from the past.
It does help when they bring my interest, legends back, yes.
Especially someone my age. I cannot relate to some of these new wrestlers just simply because they weren't at a time when I was a kid where I loved wrestling and I was, you know, I was really into the characters. Like, it's someone my age, I need these returning stars, so they need to start doing it a little more often. Leave it at that.
That's it.
If that even makes sense.
That is if.
I just want to, before we move on to a little side topics, there is one major topic I want to talk about tonight, and that is John Cena kind of throwing the WWE Universe a curveball by saying that he's having elbow surgery, as we mentioned in the post-to-post report. Now, questions were raised. Would John Cena return so soon from injury to appear on this past Monday's Raw? Well, lo and behold, we were treated to a yes, and he did return. And he got in the ring with his arm sling and all. And here's what John Cena had to say about his status after surgery.
And the fact that I got to sit on the bench for a little while, quite frankly, it sucks. So tonight I wanted to make a guarantee. I don't know when I'm going to speak again, so I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to guarantee my recovery. I'm not going to guarantee what I'm about to say is safe. I'm not going to guarantee it's a long-term career decision. I'm just going to guarantee that I'm going to walk into Hell in a Cell. And I'm not going to walk in as a timekeeper or a manager or a ref or an assistant. I am going to walk in to Hell in a Cell to fight. Tonight, right here in front of you, in front of the world, I guarantee that Hell in a Cell, CM Punk.
Oh, thank you, CM Punk, for saving us on that one, because I did not want to see John Cena on Monday Night Raw at all. But that's just me. Are you happy to see John Cena have elbow surgery right now and possibly be off television for 5 or 6 weeks?
Well, I think it's interesting to see the little the rumors that are flying around with this whole situation. I mean, first you have the website saying he's going to be back in 2 weeks, and then Cena saying, no, I'm going to be back in 6 weeks. So,
Basso, are you happy to see John Cena possibly off television for a little bit?
No, I think he's an essential part of the show, and you got to keep him around. I know, Corey. I know it's tough. I also heard some rumors going around that he would be getting yanked from the WWE house shows for a couple weeks. But lo and behold, I have gone on their website and looked at their live show events and some of the actual arenas putting them on. And he is still being advertised on house show cards. So may not be going too far, whether he's just in a, hey, I'm John Cena, look at my five-knuckle shuffle kind of role or whatever.
And I have a huge problem with that. The guy has elbow surgery. Why are we not allowed to have a few weeks without John Cena on the show?
Do you really hate him that much?
I do. I hate him.
You're mad.
I hate him. Why do we have to have Why do we have to have every Monday Night Raw with John Cena, regardless if he's in an arm sling or not, if he can wrestle or not? Like, he did not need to come to the ring on Monday to apologize to the people for having to take time off and apologizing for the CM Punk's behavior. And we don't need that.
Kids tune in to Monday Night Raw to see John Cena.
I was going to say, man, I think you would have a massive backlash if little Jimmy goes to his parents and said,
yep,
hey, Mama Jimmy, John Cena ain't going to be on TV anymore. I'm furious 2 days before the event. Like,
so
it's going to be it would be like, okay, you're a big fan of the ad. We just discussed, like, you know, you need those wrestlers to pique your interest, like you were saying. If you went to a Raw, Stone Cold Steve Austin is advertised on a poster drinking Steve Weiser for months up into the show. 2 days before, he drank too many Steve Weisers and he got a cramp. And you don't get to see Stone Cold Steve Austin, you're going to be pissed.
Yep.
It happens all the time. That happens all the
time. But not with
the
biggest star in the company. Like, Wade Barrett, we don't need to see him. Randy, we can put him on the back burner. CM Punk, we'll put him on the commentary table. But John Cena, he's like the guy, man.
Yeah.
Are you telling me the company can't exist without John Cena?
Of course it can, but I don't...
To me, you're taking 10, 15 minutes away from someone else who possibly could shine in that segment on Monday Night Raw, all because we need to see John Cena come out and tell everyone that he had elbow surgery and that he needs to recover, but he will promise to be back at Hell in a Cell in 6 weeks. That's not even that big of a deal to me. Triple H gone for 10 months is a big deal. Cena temporarily off television for 6 weeks while he recovers, not a big deal.
But you know what? It goes back to the whole Hulk Hogan argument. Like, back in the day, Hulk Hogan on a card meant 10,000 seats were sold. Hulk Hogan not on a card, 6,000 seats were sold, or less than that even. Right?
But you're never going to be able to say that about any other wrestler as long as John Cena is hogging that.
You're right. You're right. But I think more than anything, butts in the seats, you're right. Ticket sales, merch, you're all right. You know, you can't see me, but... I definitely think that it has to do with a lot with the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view. How well would Mick Foley's promo with CM Punk or all the other stuff they're doing to build this matchup go yes. over if John Cena wasn't even the house? You know what I mean? It would seem like almost like Rock Cena again mm-hmm. via satellite. So I think they're just keeping him to keep up appearances and be like, don't worry, fans, you will get to see John Cena at Hell in a Cell. We'll keep him on TV, but we're going to rest him kind of thing.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and I'm going to switch gears. At the end of Monday Night Raw, we saw CM Punk surprised after he had attacked Mick Foley. He turned around, was going to go back to attack Mick Foley again. And who does he see protecting Mick Foley but Ryback? Of all people, we now have possibly Ryback in the WWE title picture. First of all, before I get into my thoughts, what do you think of that?
I think it's just a tease. I don't think you're going to see Ryback into the title picture anytime soon.
No.
And if it is, it'll be a backup plan if Cena can't make
That's
it
where
to
I
Hell
was
in a Cell,
with.
Right?
I think so, too. And I just think if it's not that, it must just be a prime example of inconsistent creative writing where they're trying to do
exactly.
too much at one time. I really hope it's either because, A, he's going to be part of that possible heel faction like we discussed earlier, or B, because they're using him as a possible backup. But, like, you could have used anybody. And, like, Ryback, who's he fought really of note besides The Miz? Who, by the way, that shit match shouldn't have gone on cleanly, but he's been all squashes.
Tyler Rex, man.
Okay, Tyler, but what, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
but the
NXT type quality.
I hear what you're saying.
I know why they're using, I think I know why they're using Ryback in this situation. And that's because, let's just say Cena isn't ready to go for Hell in a Cell. Your main event is CM Punk versus question mark. It can't be someone, it can't just be anyone. You're selling the main event of the pay-per-view. Ryback, that's a possible main event selling match because Ryback's been on this roll as of late. He looks dominant. Is CM Punk going to be the one
but
to stop
Ryback?
Is he
really ready to be top billing on a pay-per-view?
It doesn't matter if he's ready. It's do the fans want to see the match, and that will sell that main event pay-per-view. I don't think anyone wants to see Ryback beat CM Punk, but the idea of putting those two in a world title match as the main event of a pay-per-view, that's selling that. In fact, I would even argue that it might sell more than Cena and Punk.
Just the tease you're talking about?
Just
then?
The tease of that.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants to see that ultimately with Ryback. Personally, me, I don't want to see that. But I would say the majority, let's say, not everyone, the majority wants to see Ryback fight for the WWE title picture, reminiscent of Goldberg defeating Hogan and Scott Hall that night on Monday Night Raw.
I don't know. I feel it's too soon, personally.
It is way too soon.
I agree. I think it's too soon, but I do understand what you're saying. Like, okay, he's rolled through everybody. What's stopping him from rolling over CM Punk to getting the title? I'd tune in to watch that. You're right.
And you have to have a backup plan for a main event. So
yeah,
I can't really come up with a better backup plan for a main event. I don't think it'll happen. I don't think there's any way Cena doesn't wrestle at that pay-per-view. And I don't think they want to rush Ryback. But to me, I'm not even that impressed with Ryback. He gets gassed so quickly. Any match that has that goes longer than 2 minutes.
Oh, I will agree.
You watch Ryback; he is done.
Yeah, Goldberg had way more skill.
Goldberg had way more endurance. Mm-hmm. He was way better shape. I don't know if it's just because of the actual physiques that are different. Ryback is very short and stocky and big, where Goldberg was a lot taller and he had that football physique where he could move really easily.
Tiny,
you know?
Chicken legs.
I was going to say, he had like calves like my mom.
But my problem with Ryback is that he gasses so early, he's done and over with. And you can see it. I remember I've watched a couple matches where I'm wondering if he's even going to be able to pick the guy up. And he barely does it. I mean, he makes it look easy, but I can see that
He's struggling.
He's struggling. He's gassed out. So
because he's hungry, feed him more.
I don't know. I still hate the Ryback angle personally.
Well, it's starting to get over with people now.
I was gonna say, feed me more. They're chatting it, and people seem to love it. I liked it. You remember about a month ago? I don't know if you were watching when he came out with the pink eye. Mm-hmm. Were you watching that? That was cool. I thought that actually worked. It made him look scary, but turns out it actually was
pink eye.
It wasn't a work. He actually had pink eye or something.
Do you know that when he comes out of the entranceway and then just before he walks down the ramp, he does something with his fist and you hear pyros go off? Do you know that there's actually no pyros that go off? It's just part of the sound.
Really?
Stereo, yeah.
Boom! Oh, I didn't know that.
Bam! Ryback! Bam!
Well, do you ever see pyros when he walks out of the entranceway?
No, you don't. You hear them.
You just hear them.
Huh. And I never put two together with that.
Stupid.
Huh.
That's ridiculous.
That is kind of stupid now that I think
I need
about
the shower of pyros behind him like Goldberg. And
the blowing the smoke out the nose. And
if we're going to do it, let's go all the way.
Yeah.
All right, what else can we talk about here? Maybe how about the resurgence of the tag team division? We've been seeing a lot of tag team matches late on Raw, or as of late on Raw.
Well, I don't know. When you got guys coming up with names like Rhodes Scholars, like what was that?
I like Rhodes Scholars.
Rhodes Scholars?
I think that is 100 terrible. Times no.
Terrible.
Rhodes
man.
Scholars team hell
they
no.
They could have come up with something way better, man. Cody how do you Rhodes figure? And Damian Sandow?
I think they're obviously going for something that's like cheesy slapstick, you know.
I think that works perfectly. I think Damian Sandow is a scholar. Cody Rhodes?
They're just doing that. Rhodes Scholar, hell no, Air Boom from last year, if you remember that.
What I was going to say was they let the fans vote on Daniel Bryan and Kane's tag team name on Twitter. They give you three choices that were just
so
absolutely
stupid.
Horrid. But then they actually just feed you a tag team name that I thought was good. That's what I was going to say about this whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. No. I thought Rhodes Scholars is good.
Totally disagree with you.
Hmm. What do you think about Rhodes Scholars? Do you like that name?
I could really give a crap about the name. It's just a matter of, is it a good tag team? Does it work in the ring?
I think that is a good tag team.
That is a very good tag team.
I think it's a very good tag team as well. One of my favorites right now, too, even though they're a little bit green and have some work to do, is the primetime players.
Mm-hmm.
Titus O'Neil and Darren Young. I think they're fantastic. They're young. I think those are some guys you could build a tag team division around. Unfortunately, they got passed over, I think, by Kane and Daniel Bryan, because that seemed to peak in hotness right at the time where the primetime players were in the tag team championship scene, and they got bumped off, and now they're kind of in limbo, it seems. So
the tag team division is definitely heating up.
What about the Usos? You guys feeling the Usos at all?
I like the Usos.
I've always liked the Usos.
I thought they were very good.
I
wrestlers.
Love their entrance when they do that Samoan dance, and then they come out. That's awesome.
Their in-ring work to me is awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Good. It is good. And since there's such a rich history of Samoans in the WWE, I think they have to have that. And the Colognes, Epico and Primo, they're also very good. So,
one of my biggest problems with the tag team division, I don't care how many awesome tag teams you have going, the tag team titles themselves. I can't stand the look of them.
The penny belts.
They look like pennies.
Yeah. And nobody likes those, so you guys are
not alone.
Do you
think the guys that walk out wearing those like them? No.
Why would you ever make a title belt with the copper color? That just screams third-rate title.
Yeah,
belt,
it does.
You know?
It does scream third-rate title. And when the title's never defended, and when it is, it's announced like the day before the pay-per-view. It's never advertised. I think they could be doing more for the tag division outside of just creating good teams.
I agree. Dolph Ziggler and his Money in the Bank briefcase. What are your predictions with this one?
Well, finally, looks like they're pushing Ziggles.
The Zig Man.
The Ziggles.
I am interested to see where they could get him to cash in that is not completely predictable, because if you think about it, there's been so Money in the Banks and so many cash-ins. They're running out of new ways for people to do it. I mean, the only new way they could have possibly done it was taken by John Cena, and that's to have the guy cashing in actually lose.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't even lose clean, so it's weird. They're losing possibilities for that Money in the Bank contract scenario, I think.
I think you're going to see him cash it in at WrestleMania, and that'll be the big – next year will be the year for Dolph Ziggler.
Really? Because I think he's going to cash in at Hell in a Cell in 4 weeks.
Hmm.
I think he's going to wait the whole year and cash it in just before Money in the Bank next year. Because I don't think we've seen anybody do that. They've usually cashed it in within 6 months.
Who's been the longest that's held a briefcase? Has it been The Miz that held the briefcase?
Punk won back-to-back briefcases, but I don't know how long he held them for.
Miz used his to excel his character for quite a while.
Okay, Miz won his at Money in the Bank, and then he cashed in on Randy like later in the year. So he did it before the year ended because he had the belt going into Royal Rumble that year.
Oh, that's right, that's right. I'm just wondering who held the briefcase the longest.
I would guess
say Punk.
Will you say Punk? Yeah. I think my guess is The Miz. I don't know for sure though.
Yeah, my guess would be The Miz too. I could be wrong though.
Because he won at the Money in the Bank pay per view and then cashed in at the Rumble, so that's pretty short. No, a couple months.
Well, you're right.
5 months.
No, you're right.
Anyways,
anything else you guys want to talk about with WWE this week before we move on? James wants to talk a little TNA. So
why don't we talk about Jerry Lawler?
I was going to say, what about the King? Long live the King, Corey.
Yeah, man.
I wasn't forgetting about
We're not giving Jerry Lawler any love here?
No, of course we're going to talk
about
Jerry
Lawler. He's a footnote at the end of the broadcast.
Well, no, the thing is the guy's recovering. I don't want
to,
like...
There's nothing more to add, right?
I don't want to promote... I feel like the WWE is really running with this as almost like a storyline.
I was just going to say, how do you feel about them using it as actual content and all the discussion
And my take on this
selling
is...
Selling t-shirts, Long Live the King, and stuff like that.
That's true.
My take on this is I didn't really want to talk about Jerry Lawler at the top of the show because we're talking storylines and wrestling-related content where Jerry Lawler is a real story, right? And I feel the WWE is forgetting that. And they are exploiting him a little bit. However,
but they love to do stuff like that. They love to take real stories and exploit. Look what they did with Eddie. It was downright shameless.
And
what they did
after I have a hard time believing that any of this is happening without Jerry Lawler's approval. I don't know if Lawler's aware that they are showing shots of him on the stretcher, teasing the interview.
He's aware.
Maybe not. I don't know. I think Jerry Lawler's watching the show kind of when we are, so he probably isn't aware of that. I don't know for sure though.
I mean, it's one of those things that WWE definitely has to acknowledge, especially in an age where we have so much media and technology, and obviously people knew what was going on. So they had to acknowledge it, and I think what they did the night of was the right thing, but how they're running with it, and like James said, Long Live the King shirts, they are exploiting it. I mean, it's a good story. I mean, the guy did survive. You know, WWE medics were right on the scene. Montreal cardiac hospital were great with him and saved him and all that, but... Enough,
the shirts were for charity, that's a different
thank
story.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's
going
a different
towards
story.
Heart research. But if it's going
I would have
Vincent,
loved that.
If it's going in Vincent K's pocket, it's a cash grab.
Exactly. If you think about it, how lucky is Jerry Lawler to have had his heart attack where he was?
That's true.
Well, I'm assuming he has medical insurance.
Lucky is not the word, maybe.
Yeah, you know what I mean, right? Yeah, like, fortunate. How fortunate was he to have had his heart attack where he did?
Yeah.
Where medical attention was there right away to assist him, right?
No, I agree. It is a good story from a reporter standpoint because the guy, it happened on live television. Like, that rarely happens.
Now, how do you guys feel, like, what are your feelings on the way that WWE handled the whole situation? Do you think they should have continued with Raw, or do you
think
they should
have
stopped
the Raw?
I think they did the right thing. The only thing I don't like is the night it happened, I don't like how Michael Cole had ignored it all the way up until the commercial break that followed. It was so blatantly obvious that something was going on.
Something had happened, yeah.
Because everyone in the crowd is looking in... you know, off the ring or outside the ring. Everyone knew that something was going on, and here you have the guys in the ring pretending that nothing's going on, and you have Michael Cole sort of commentating the match. To me, it's like...
Well, what do you do? Okay, go
this,
on the mic
this is
and be like,
King's
down!
Well,
King's
no,
down!
But this
like,
is
going
to sound stupid. This is going to sound stupid, but if you were to go with the idea that wrestling is real and we're going to make the fans perceive it's real, if something spontaneous was happening outside the ring, typically the cameras would cut to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where here is something that was off the script, and it, because it's not on the script, they're just ignoring it completely. And that's, to me...
I think that's standard operating procedure in WWE.
But do you really want to film a guy dying? They didn't
know
what was happening.
I know.
What happens
if
it's the King's eyes bugging out of his head and his tongue hanging out? That might be a little graphic.
I agree. Yeah. No, I agree. At the end of the day, I think they handled it right.
And
I'm just saying I would have liked to have seen something to say, or just say something... Not necessarily show them on television, but acknowledge it. They were acting like the show was going on as normal.
Well,
while
I think
this was
in the WWE's defense, they had to figure out what was going on. I mean,
and
nobody
quickly. I'm sure it was a matter of me and you are broadcasters, because we know kind of how equipment's set up. You can talk to your guy, your producer, off the air. So I'm sure right away, Cole's mic was killed, and he was saying off the air to his guy in his ear,
"Oh,
something's going down here."
He was
get
taking,
down here now.
He was taking long pauses in his commentary.
Absolutely,
and you know that he was hitting the mute switch there for sure.
I know for sure, and that, I think like. It that kind of stuff all happens so quick. And you're not, I don't think at that time you're thinking about the product. I think you're thinking about, okay, let's get this guy the hell out of here. Let's get him out of here alive.
Yeah.
And you know what? Cole's awkward commentary and the rest of that match went on for quite a while before they cut to commercial and he got a chance to get hauled out of there. Because you didn't see him gurneyed off during the show. No, it happened during the break. So
I just, for me, I think they handled it right. I just would have liked to have heard Michael Cole say something during the match. Like, Jerry Lawler's down over here. You know, we're going to focus on that. And I don't know.
You know what? You don't want to bring attention to that.
I think that draws away from the match you're looking at, Daniel Bryan. And they were, you could tell, like, obviously the crowd went dead and they were all looking at the thing. And Daniel Bryan and them, their match meant nothing at that point. But I think it takes away from that. And I don't think they want to do
You know what I will think that will come out of this? This whole Jerry Lawler heart attack debacle.
Scandal.
Jeez. I am off
Lawler
my game.
Having scandal. I'm off my game. Heart there. Attacks.
You know what will come out of all this?
What?
Michael Cole will be a face again.
Yes.
He had to. It couldn't be heel. Can I have your attention, please? They couldn't have done that.
He will come off looking like a face. These guys will become best of friends again. Mm-hmm. The whole WrestleMania program will be forgotten about.
Which is good. I prefer to see Michael Cole as a face.
It's a shame this is what it took.
Yeah.
But do you not remember us saying on this show, Michael Cole will never be able to recover from this heel character and his credibility is gone and no one will forget how stupid he looked.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like
Immediately forgotten.
We won't. I won't forget. But I will forgive. I won't forget. That's the kind of thing.
But they should run with that. Because Michael Cole's credibility has been restored in this somehow.
Yeah. A little bit. Thanks, King. Long live the King. You did it. You did it, Jerry. You did it.
All right. Anything else WWE related?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything.
TNA this week, James.
Oh, well, maybe not this week. I just want to bring up a couple of points for those of you who may not follow TNA. Their Bound for Glory series is now finally finished, and it was Jeff Hardy that actually pulled out the win in the BFG series. Mm-hmm. So now, at Bound for Glory, which is like TNA's WrestleMania, it's going to be Jeff Hardy taking on their champion, Austin Aries. So I don't know if you guys are following TNA. Have you got any thoughts on that?
No, I haven't. I barely can get through the WWE content these days, so I haven't had time to watch TNA.
I find it interesting that Jeff Hardy, through his ups and downs in TNA and especially coming at WWE, he's been a consistent main event in the TNA. And from what I hear, when he's on his game, he definitely seems to be on his game. Sure.
Now, I personally would have preferred to have seen maybe Bully Ray or Samoa Joe take the series, and that would have been more of an exciting match to me. But if they wanted to go with Jeff Hardy, that's all right.
I'm a Samoa Joe fan, and I know he's been out of the world title, or I don't know if this is for the world title or what it was for, but he's been out of the kind of the main event scene
for the world title
for a while. So I would like to see Samoa Joe step back into that spotlight. But you know what? Obviously, they're giving the ball to Jeff Hardy to run with, so he's obviously doing something right there.
Now, the unfortunate thing that's going on with TNA right now is this Aces and Eights angle that they've got going. It seems to be dragging everything else that they've got going on down because it just seems to be the same thing week after week with no real progression. Like, I don't know if you remember back in the day when the NWO was running wild, right? They had progression. You had new guys coming into the mix. You found out who was in the group. Well, with this whole Aces and Eights thing, you still don't know who's behind it. You still don't know who's a part of this group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like they can come and go whenever they please. You know, makes TNA security look like a joke. And it seems to be bringing everything else that they've got going on down.
See, it sounds like a Vince Russo booking to me.
He's not involved there anymore.
Yeah, but it's Bruce Pritchard now.
Now, are the fans responding to this, or are they not really responding?
Well, they were liking it in the beginning, but I think now it's really starting to run its course. And kind of like what I think they need to do what they did with the Claire Lynch angle and just kind of end it and move on because it doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
And these are masked men, aren't they?
Yeah, this is like a group of masked men that basically can invade any match at any time whenever they want, NWO style.
And no one's unmasking them,
and no one's tried to unmask them or find out who they are or who's behind them or anything. So it's just. You know, they had such a good run of product here the last few months, and now it just seems they're really starting to go back down again.
To me, the most interesting part of TNA right now, and this isn't even show related, but is where will Matt Morgan end up? Is Matt Morgan going to end up in TNA, or is he going to end up in the WWE?
Because he's been appearing at TNA house shows.
Matt Morgan is one of those first guys from TNA that could cross over to the WWE and be a big impact. Remember back in the day when someone from WCW came to WWE?
It was huge.
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're not seeing him on Monday Night Raw. Well,
Jericho was huge.
Yeah. and you know, Benoit and all, and yeah. Guerrero and those. Like, we were all surprised, yeah. right? But what I'm saying is we haven't really seen that with TNA. We haven't seen anyone big from TNA come to the WWE. Matt Morgan is one of those guys that would be a big mm-hmm. impact. Is it possible that he's leaving TNA? I don't think so, because from what I understand,
he's teased it quite a few times.
And he made a bit of a run-in out of the crowd at a TNA house show. It was, no cameras were there, but he ran in through the crowd or from the crowd into the ring, teasing that he's still affiliated with TNA. So it's very interesting. His contract is up. So I don't know. I'd like to see Matt Morgan in the WWE. To me, that's what's got me excited when it comes to the TNA. I'm not. I just,
who's going to the WWE?
Exactly. Exactly. So, it's terrible.
We know where Corey's heart is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anything else TNA or no? You good?
No, that's pretty much my little TNA update for the week.
All right. Now, Corey Basso has requested that we talk a little local wrestling this
week. I really
week.
Had to pull some strings for this one.
All right. Well, here we go. The local wrestling scene.
The local wrestling scene, bringing you up to date with the promotions all over the Pacific Northwest.
You gotta have local wrestling there, Basso, because... Are you sorry? I was gonna say you gotta have the local wrestling scene music to start the segment, Basso, because the local wrestling scene is nothing without Wild Child.
I was gonna say the guy's shredding the guitar while I'm shredding the vocals here.
All right, so you want to talk ECCW this week?
ECCW and a couple notes from the ASW as well.
All right, so before we get into it, if you want to check out the ECCW, you can do so at www.eccw.com, and if you want to check out the ASW, go to aswcanada.com.
Actually, a new website.
Oh, actually, I was. Yeah, that's right. Do you
I
know the new address?
You are on fire tonight.
Hey. I believe it's .biz now.
ASWCanada.biz?
or AllStarWrestling.biz, one of the two.
Well, basically, we don't know the website, Ash.
No. Hang on.
We've given them three different ones.
Gorgeous Michelle Starr is going to be all over me if I don't get this right.
Oh, God.
I won't be invited back to any shows if I don't get
this right. The credibility of this show has just gone down the tube.
Because I let you guys on my insider wrestling, my local segment here. Next time I'll keep you guys.
You're supposed to be the local wrestling insider. See, we can't look bad here no matter what. You can look bad. Well, James.
Okay, allstarwrestling.biz.
There we go.
Sorry, Michelle.
Okay, well, let's start with ECCW then. What have you got for us?
Just a couple notes of some big shows coming up and ones that have just passed. Of course, the infamous Honky Tonk Kid, Honky Tonk Man angle that had been worked over the summer culminated about a couple weeks back when the Honky Tonk Man did come to Vancouver to take on his illegitimate, maybe not even son, formerly the Divine Prophet. Mm-hmm. Of course, ending with the Honky Tonk Man vanquishing his son once and for all.
Were you there for that?
I was not. I was in New York for that one.
But I wanted to make that one, and I never did.
But from what I understand, quite a hot crowd, standing room only, which is the first time they've done that at the Russian Hall for quite a while now. So they got a good crowd out to see the Honky Tonk Man.
Great venue.
The idea of that match was just awesome.
It was.
It was the first time that ECCW had really taking the time to put together a good promo campaign, like video promo campaign.
They were funny.
Where they could did at least a video a week promoting the upcoming. And you know what the best part was? You never saw or heard from the Honky Tonk Man once. It was carried by one guy wrestling with shadows, and they made it work.
And that's the way it should be, because the Honky Tonk Kid should have been featured a lot in that match, because he is very good at what he does. And the Honky Tonk Man, yes, we all know who he is, but not everyone knows who the Honky Tonk Kid was. So it was an excellent opportunity to give him a bit of a shine.
Right away, when that angle first started, I was like, okay, this is a little bit of a, I don't want to say cash grab, but he's obviously trying to climax with a match with the Honky Tonk Man, and I was cool with that, and it paid off. They did. The Honky Tonk Man beats him, and that leads to a little bit of a character change for the Honky Tonk Kid. We've seen him as the Divine Prophet, where he's a little bit, he's on the spiritual side, and he converts, you know, followers, almost a bit cult-like with his beliefs. Then he moved on to the Honky Tonk Kid, where he's almost a schizophrenic version, where he's thinking he's the Honky Tonk Man's son and he's talking about all this weird stuff. At the next show, the Honky Tonk Kid emerges and says, you know what, I'm heading back to Honkywood. I don't want to be part of this anymore. And he emerges later in the show, guys, as the Yukon, or the King of the Yukon.
King of the Yukon, that's
really?
Right.
Really?
He's got these big wool boots on. Oh, and,
oh just
unreal.
Sounds beautiful.
All I can really compare it to is it looks like almost like a caveman Sasquatch.
Yes.
it's a weird character to look at, but
it
it's
looks
different.
Like a cross between a caveman and Freddie Mercury almost.
I was going to say, he's like a bit of a wild man character. And so he's converted to that. He moves on to his third character now, and I find this guy just one of the better actors in indie wrestling, so it'll be interesting to see where the Divine
really
Prophet, Honky Tonk Kid, and now the King of the Yukon goes with that.
Hmm.
Their upcoming show is, their next one is on October 6th. That is a Saturday. And it will have the Honky Tonk Man again. He's just stopping by for an appearance, but he will be in the house. Main events of that one include Scotty Mack taking on Sid Sylum and Ravenous Randy. All three guys, extremely great talent, so we'll see what they can put together. Another match between Bishop and Artie. They've been having sort of a, I don't even know how you would call it. I don't want it's a gauntlet of matches of sort. They've just they've been squaring off event after event and just refining their chemistry together. So they'll go at it again.
Those two work really well together.
Of course, Bishop and Artie are two of the best guys you want to see in a match. If you want to see a match,
Artie's amazing, man. He's got skill.
Artie is amazing. And another one that's very much main event talent. The recently turned heel El Fantasmo.
Oh, really? He's a heel now.
Taking on Tony Baroni. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of heat El Fantasmo would get for himself. I first saw his heel character live a couple weeks ago at the show at the Russian Community Center, and it's different.
Yeah. When did he turn heel? Like, how did that all happen? Do you know?
I cussed out the crowd at Bridgeview Hall in Surrey about a couple months ago and said he was pretty much done with them, sick of pandering to the fans. The typical heel turn speech.
Was that the last show at Bridgeview Hall there?
Yes, the one before they closed it down for renovations or whatever.
And are the fans buying into his heel character?
Yes, and some are still on the fence, though. Like, some, he's the kind of heel you love to hate, but at the same time, you love his chachi antics kind of thing. Like, he's the heel I would cheer for. Mm. He's a dick, you know, he's very loud. At first, I didn't know how heel Phantasma would work just because he's so over with the crowd, but he's finding a way to just, like, he's... The best way I could describe his heel character is he's a troll. He trolls people, like, to the max. To the max.
Interesting.
That's awesome.
And then their next show after that, All or Nothing, October 13th. One of my favorite gimmick matches will be taking place. Hair versus hair.
Oh,
Bishop
wow.
versus Ravenous Randy, who's got some wild locks. Some are saying, you know what, maybe it's time for Ravenous to get his hair cut. Some are saying, you know what, Bishop's got some long-ass dreads now, so it's time for him to hack it off. I don't care who wins. I just want to see somebody get cut up by some scissors and
hair
a buzzer.
Hair versus hair. That's awesome.
And that'll be on October 13th. And then, of course, the big one, Halloween Hell on October 17th.
The biggest.
Big 17th,
shows.
I'm sorry, that's the 27th.
That'll the be one I look forward to all year.
That's right.
That'll be in New West at their new location. And
so where is their new location now in
New
West?
It is the Sapperton Pensioners Hall. It is in New West. I don't have an address for that one on me as we speak.
Do you know the building? No?
Negative. I know they used to run the old ECCW classic location used to be the Eagles Hall out in New West, which is where they used to do Hell and stuff like that. But now they've moved to the Sapperton Pensioners Hall. And so Halloween Hell will be on October 27th. I'm sure you can see lots of bloody, gruesome matches there.
And have you ever heard any update on what's happening with Bridgeview Hall at all or no?
I'm sure they're going to go back to Bridgeview Hall because they have a nice little niche of a crowd that they have down there that they go to.
Yeah.
So I can't see them staying out of Surrey for too long. And just a couple brief notes on ASW before we wrap up on the local scene. A couple events coming up. Friday, October 19th in Cloverdale at the Alice McKay Building at the Fairgrounds. It will be another Honky Tonk Man appearance. So he'll be stopping by. I don't know if he's wrestling or not, but he will be there along with a full card of ASW action. And then the following Sunday, the 21st, Honky Tonk Man will be in Abbotsford at the Abbotsford Arts Center, I believe. And then just a couple events after that, November 16th and 17th, it's a double shot of Blood, Gangrel. He'll be in Cloverdale and then Abbotsford. Gangrel getting in lots of time with ASW, so you can pretty much see him monthly now.
Well, he's the ASW Trans-Canada champion.
Yep. And often does trips up to the interior to do shots with Big West and Okanagan and stuff like that. So
he's got a nice little thing going, doesn't he?
I was
going
to say, Gangrel's found himself a nice little niche. Lots of vampires here in BC, too. So those are a couple notes for ASW and a couple big shows for ECCW coming up with a couple character changes in the King of the Yukon and a newly heel El Fantasmo, gentlemen.
Hmm. The local wrestling scene.
In a nutshell.
CNWA just crowned their national champion, too, actually.
Really?
Over in Red Deer. Remember we were talking to Vance Nevada about it.
That's right. I can't remember who it was, though.
You know what? I can't.
Oh, don't bring it up, James, unless he can deliver the goods.
Hey, I just want to say CNWA has a new national champion. I don't know who it is, but they have a new champion.
Wow. Again, credibility out the window. Do we dare bring it up? The disappearance and the reemergence of Stalin Smith? Interesting story to happen in the local wrestling scene.
Yeah. Do we bring it up? I don't think so.
Well, I'll say this. It's good that they definitely found him. I'm not sure what the story is. None of our business.
Well,
but I'm happy that they definitely did find Stalin Smith because he was reported missing for a few days.
A little touch and go there for a while, I heard.
Regardless, it's a story for another time. I can't help but notice how quiet Basso is being over there.
Whatever are you talking about? I'm listening to Michael Jackson, Dirty Diana in the background, gentlemen.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up another edition of Smack Talk Radio Live. A couple points I wanted to make before we get out of here, though. WrestleMania 29 tickets have been announced when they're going to go on sale. Or sorry, it has been announced when they're going to go on sale. That's Saturday, November 10th. So if you want to go to WrestleMania at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, New York, November 10th is the day for you. Basso, will you be buying tickets?
I was going to say, guys, you want to go get our tents and line up outside of the ticket box now?
I'll tell you right now, I've decided I'm buying tickets, and whether I go or not is a last-minute call. If I don't go, I will try and sell the tickets, but I'm going to be buying tickets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm kind of leaning towards the Royal Rumble.
I was going to say that as well. Royal Rumble in St. Louis. Oh, no. Phoenix. Yeah, Phoenix. Phoenix. Phoenix.
It's been on my bucket list. I love the Rumble.
Royal Rumble at
that
Phoenix.
That might be one to go to, actually.
I know.
The Rumble.
Interesting. Yeah.
If the lockout gets solved, you can go see a Coyotes game at the same time.
There you go.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I know. All right, this has been another edition of Smack Talk Radio Live, back from the summer hiatus. Feels pretty damn good. What do you say, fellas?
I enjoyed myself.
Corey Bassel's already unplugged his mic. He's out of here.
So I thought we were out of here.
All right, www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, at SRL Radio on Twitter. We will be back next week because we're not taking any more breaks, no matter how good or how bad wrestling is.
How many times John Cena appears on one show?
Well, if he shows up more than once, I will cancel the show. I want him gone for a few weeks. All right, I'm Corey Callahan.
I am James McDonald, that guy.
I'm Corey Basso, that other guy.
And this is Smack Talk Radio Live. We'll see you next week.